So before the Rosas lifter, you know, he had some medical issues with his foot, and for a long time he wasn't able to come into shul. And you know how much he cares about us, how much he cared about us, and he didn't want to leave us without someone here to take the reins on site. It's a major decision, put so many years and so much effort, so much time into us and into the shul. How do you let someone else step in and help when needed? I didn't know that it would continue for about a year afterwards, also. Like, it was nothing. But on the other hand, it was such an obvious decision. Rav Jacobson has been with the shul for years, giving shiurim. He was close to the Rav for years. He was close to us for years. We know what a Talmid Chacham is and how much he cares about us and how much he cares about the shul. And so Rav turned to him. And he stepped up and he continued to do so. Rav was no longer with us. So I think there's no one who could be more appropriate to give us the great chizuk and munah and bitachon in the times that we're in now, the mishnas thereof, than Rav Jacobson. Just love, Rita. This is Bahas Malibowitz, Michael. At a time like this, there isn't my justification to get up and try to justify the title of the shiur in the Chazak Emunah in these times, is by first clarifying that there's no mokum to be trying to be original. There's no mokum for someone like me to share thoughts, feelings, insights, but only to be in the role of a general mashke to try to convey the yesodus that we've been taught by Rabbi Seinu to use the kelim that we've been given to navigate not something like this. And don't forget the Shmaya to be able to do. So first of all, just to keep the focus on what we'll be discussing is not why. Not because we can't address that. We alluded to this on Shabbos. There's a way to do it, conditions to do it, there's a time to do it. But right now, the question is for what? What's the purpose? Because that is something that is halacha l'maaseh for us right now. Where are we meant to be going with what's going on? What does Hashem want from us here? What's the expected response? The starting point is always, and therefore I'm going to, again, I'm going to apologize. It's going to be repetitive. We'll be repeating things. I've heard this from the Rav over these weeks. Now, Vadim has been discussing these things. So, again, I'm not trying to be machadish here, but to try to hammer home the basic yesodos that we need to be working with now on a regular basis. So, working with two premises, two fundamental premises here. Number one is things don't just happen to the Jewish people. That's premise number one. Premise number two is things don't just happen to the Jewish people. A separate point. The third number one is, of course, the starting place is always the Rambam in Hilchos Tanyos, who tells us that there's never such a thing as saying, okay, these things happen. The question might be, why did Hashem let it happen? But as the Rambam puts it, it happened because of different natural causes.
And what's happening here, both in terms of the Tzara and in terms of the Haras Panim that we're seeing now, it's almost impossible to say that. It's almost impossible to say that. But it's always possible. It's always possible. So this is number one. The understanding that Hashem is coming with a call here. And this is what the Rambam lays down as a mitzvah sasein ratayim. Not to step back and say, okay, we don't understand what's going on. There will always be the layers where we don't understand what's going on. But there are always the layers that we are expected to interpret it as a call. So this is number one, which is based on the understanding that Yisrael am kuroi v'don go through olam hazeh. Yifrat en Eretz Yisrael, hine Hashem elokech avot, we are Yisrael am kuroi v'don. And anything that the Jewish people are going through is something that Hashem is moving them through, b'chastoi, b'rachamov, for a purpose. And the question for us is, what is our role in the situation? And this really is your side number two. Things don't just happen to the Jewish people. The separate points. The first point was things don't just happen to the Jewish people, as in Hashem is guiding this in a very deliberate way in the context of his love for us. And then your side number two is that we don't move through it rapidly. Things don't just happen to us. If Hashem puts us through a situation, we move through it consciously with a sense of mission, trying to appreciate, okay, Hashem is calling us to rise to the occasion. What is the call? What is the call? Well, any time that we're put through something, any time that as an am, and as a yachid as well, here, it's on both levels. But there's a call to come out of it transformed, to come out of it elevated, and to kiryachol justify Hashem's purpose. Kiryachol. And if we'll say, 1 minute, what about those who aren't here anymore? They're saying that the purpose here is, as far as purpose goes, right? We're not going back to what. But as far as purpose, it's to bring out an elevated quality. It's to bring each of us to a new level. As we'll discuss, what do we say about those who aren't going to be here to do it? What about those who we lost? And this brings us back to another part of the purpose. That question also bounces back on us. That question also comes back to us. Because to a large extent, we're working with another premise here. The understanding that Olam Hazeh is a very small piece of the picture. And the Karbanos who went, right there, we're not attempting to plumb the depths, but we're attempting to address the layers that are relevant to us. And they were chosen as Karbanos to spur Klal Yisrael to greater levels. And therefore, to a large extent, they're either in the Shama. They have their own Ilui Neshama. But then there's another layer of Ilui Neshama that's actually in our hands. These people can go down as Nezakei Onadi, as teachers of Klal Yisrael, as people who bought Klal Yisrael, elevated Klal Yisrael, brought Klal Yisrael that much closer to Hashem, perhaps moved all of Klal Yisrael, moved all of the world toward the ultimate Ilui. And that, once again, to a large extent, is in our hands. Are we going to grant them that? And what they have in their own right, they have in their own right. But are we going to grant that? And to what extent are we going to grant them that added layer of those who actually are mekarev of Klal Yisrael to where Hashem wants to go? Things that perhaps were beyond their abilities, beyond most of our ability to achieve in a lifetime. And now we're given the opportunity to put them in that place as Maryam of Klal Yisrael. So, first of all, again, based on Dvarim Shekibalnu, let's first note What did Hashem show? What has Hashem been showing us? What has Hashem been showing us? And really, this is part of an ongoing theme over the last few years. Ein oy milvado. Ein lo na mil yishay. Elo al gemish bashem. There are natural apparatuses in place that we tend to feel secure with. Safe under the knowledge, we have a very sophisticated, very advanced leading army security system, intelligence system, and how the whole thing, just in a way that made absolutely no sense, just fell. And here is where we want to keep away from the thinking of what is the minigo'ilim aspect? The minigo'ilim aspect is the thoughts of the natural cause and effect. What is it exactly that went wrong? How did it happen? These are things that we want to run away from like fire. We want to see here how Hashem is coming and showing, let go of your natural crutches. It's only me. That's all you have to rely on. That's all you should be sensing. We have our Yiddish boys out there. They're out there being with Moser Nefesh, doing the very, very frightening hishtadlus. And they need our chizuk in terms of the direct chizuk. They need our chizuk in terms of our fueling of their efforts, which we'll get to as a session. But we want to view it that way rather than, okay, Lamaisa, we do have that might. We do have the koyach va'oitzem yad. That now we're going to cream them. Now we're going to show them, we're going to teach them the lesson that apparently they didn't cut before. I heard that that's actually how one of the heads of the system responded. Challenged, said, one minute, didn't you say that Hamas is, didn't you say a couple of weeks ago, we don't have to worry about the Hamas because they're a little tough. They're scared. We don't have to worry about them. They're not a threat right now. His response was, that's right. It was a mistake. We thought they had learned the lesson. They hadn't. Now we'll make sure we do. This is what we want to run away from. This is what we want to run away from. The natural cause and effect, and to just see that Hashem is making a statement to you. Now, the obvious question to that is, so you're telling me that it was all Hashem. So what do we see? That Hashem did that. What are you telling me? Okay, let's get back to the point. But first, let's finish rounding out this point. We've been through Corona. Anybody in tune? Anybody who understood, right? You know the full depths of what Hashem was doing, where he was leading things. But there was a layer of it that was so obvious. The call was so obvious. This is my world. This is my world. I am taking that world back into my hands. And the question was, the challenge was, are you capable of moving yourself into a world where I reign solely, of letting go of the world you knew, of the world you felt that you held in your hands? Are you capable of living comfortably in a world where only I reign supreme? And there are no givens. Everything. You were Mekayim. Mankind was Mekayim. Take control of the world. It was actually Rotzon Hashem. Mankind should take control of the world and put it to its use. And yet Hashem was coming and showing, but at the end of the day, you may have to just let go of it all and feel comfortable living in a world that belongs to me. And where I call the shots, and you have to be comfortable operating it. When this was a lesson that anybody attuned, I believe that everybody here in this Bismedrash is experiencing that, was feeling so consciously at that time. And I remember my feelings when the vaccines were coming out. So on the one hand, there was the on the other hand, sharing my personal sense of, does this mean that we're quickly just going to move back into, okay, we have taken back control of the world, Baruch Hashem, we can be comfortable now, we'll be able to fly again, make simchas, and do what we want, when we want, as we want. The understanding was that that was actually a call to take it to the next level. Hashem gave us a crash course in, this is my world, can you live in my world? Can you live in a world of Einoi Mevada and Hashem Melech? Can you be comfortable living in that world? Another question was, okay, Hashem said, now I'm going to slowly hand back some reins to you. Hand back the reins to you. Are you capable of still maintaining that awareness of taking the challenge to the next level? We learned the lesson. But are we able to hold on to that awareness when Hashem let us back in? Not a simple call. Not a simple call. And here, we're befraught. Am I Yishev B'tzion? But as we're seeing, people talk about, say, stay in Eretz Yisrael, go to Chutz La'aretz. It's almost laughable when you hear about, okay, it's safer there, right? You have to lock your store from the inside and then open it up when people ring the bell. The campuses, v'chule. But where Hashem is basically showing that I want my people to be letting go of their sense of natural security and feeling are you capable of living in a world where you are in my hands. Where you're in my hands. And here, if we can move ourselves into such a world, an elevated world, a world where we are living as Am Karoivo, where we're living in a world of Hashem now, then, as we said before, 1 minute, so you're telling me I should experience an Einoi Milvadei, so Hashem did this. You can already appreciate that there's a whole different meaning to if, well, the systems that were supposed to be in place failed, or if Hashem is moving Klal Yisrael through an ordeal in order to bring them up that much closer to Him, in order to bring them to a higher notch. And as we said before, if we're capable of responding to this call, then we are giving that much more meaning to the hakrava of the karbanos. We're putting them into that place of those who are mekarei Klal Yisrael, closer to Avim Sheva Shemayim, as He's leading us through history. We don't know exactly what's going where when, but we do know that He's pulling us closer to Him, pulling us closer to Him, and like the Chovas Alvama says, letting go of any senses of natural security, letting go of our own abilities, and seeing through it all, and just seeing Hashem. Now, if we look at it in that way, we'll say, okay, perhaps now, we look at those who are out there at the front lines, doing the Hishtabnis for us, being Moisei Nefesh, and we see, okay, let's see Hashem operating through them. Or however else Hashem will decide to do. Rather than, well, we have a mighty apparatus. And we're giving them that much more security. We're giving ourselves that much more security. David HaMelech went out to battle. He just tried to get into the shoes of David HaMelech at war. So the Messiah Sishon says, most people, when they go to war, the great fear is, bring me back the shalom. David HaMelech had a different feeling when he went out to war. What was plaguing his mind when he went out to war? What was plaguing his mind is, chas v'shalom, maybe one of the enemy will get away. I won't have killed them all. That would be a pagam in the Kiddush Hashem that I am meant to implement. So what was his tefillah? You see what Hashem says. It says, let me chase them all And not one of them get away. I mean, not come back until I finish them all off. So I'm carrying the Dvar Hashem. My success is a reflection only of Kod Shamayim, not of my mind as a warrior. And David HaMelech himself expressed this in another pasuk in Tehillim, where he says, "Ki bechavut v'du v'belekaya v'lekshu." The way I think of that is the touch of this pasuk, bechavut v'du. If you picture a person who's in the jungle and he's surrounded by natives with spears, 70 natives surrounding him, and he has to face off against them. It requires a lot of bravery. But if he's in a tank and they're coming at him with their spears, it's 1 against 70. There's no contest before. You don't have a chance. Why? He's in a tank. There's nothing to talk about. It's obvious that he's going to destroy them. This is what David HaMelech is expressing. You see David HaMelech in battle, chasing a whole platoon of soldiers. And you would see unbelievable bravery. And David is telling him there's no bravery here. I'm running in Hashem. As he told Goliath, he simply experienced how this is Hashem carrying me. To take this to the next part of the discussion. If we appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting us through these times is a call to elevate the world that we're living in. And of course, really the most initial reflection is a call for tefillah, a call for tshuva, a call to reach out to Him. So let's appreciate that this is a time. An ace sara should also be viewed as an ace of opportunity, a zman, another moyeh, another time in our lives that's been given to us for the purpose of taking advantage of. It's a time with its own rules. It's a time we have to be in a certain mindset, just like any of the other zman throughout the year. We have itim of simcha. We have itim of solemnness. We have an itim of kirvas Hashem through mourning. We have mei hametzarim, and we have itim of kirvas Hashem and a growth through a tzarah that Hashem is putting us through. And here we can allow ourselves to say that yes, this is a time that I was going forward, just like Pesach has its assays and lois assays. It's the comments, kriyuti matzah. So we may say that the loisa say that Nisara, the loisa say the time like this is complacency. Is yes, settling into a reality of okay, this is what it is now. We know, the process is in place, and the army is fighting them, and etc. And there are American warships coming. Like that. The obscuring of the natural cause and effect, which is obscuring the sense of Ein Lanu Al Mi Yishayim. It's a time, Vaita, of the Loisa say being complacent, the realization of another point. So, like we said before, the automatic response, the automatic interpretation of an Eis Tzara is it's a call for tshuva and tefillah, as the Rambam lays down for us. In the beginning of Ruchas Taimus. But before we're talking about a Melchama, there's another realization. And that's the realization that when we are talking about Melchama against enemies, it's the realization that our state in Eretz Yisrael now, the front now, is really reflective of our state in Eretz Yisrael in general, which is really reflective of our state in history in general. It makes no sense naturally. We don't really have a king naturally. Rav Shach used to yell this. We're surrounded, a little nation, here in a small strip of land, surrounded by, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, probably hundreds of millions, of people who would like to wipe us out. And the thought that we can hold our own through our own devices is ridiculous. Makes no sense. The Kiyum of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is another manifestation of the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael LeYishayah. It's part of the Nes of Klal Yisrael in general. It's the same Nes how in 2,000 years ago that we were a defenseless nation without our own place, and with the most capable and mighty nations in the world trying to wipe us out. They tried valiantly. And at many points in history, it may have seemed like, that's it, it's basically a matter of time. The fast forward 100 years, we're still there, and those mighty nations are on history shelves. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is the representation of Hashem in this world. And the world can work against it, but Klal Yisrael is here. But that's our zchus kiyum. That's our zchus kiyum throughout all the ages of the Golos. And that's our zchus kiyum in Eretz Yisrael today. It's because we carry the Or Hashem. And this is another point that we have to be conscious of. The achrayis that we carry toward those who are there in the front lines, who are out there in the sakana, and who are battling for us, being ways of nefesh. We have to realize that chalila, to leave them to fight a natural war on the basis of whatever apparatuses we may still be holding on to. But no, they are there representing, as we said, they are representing Klal Yisrael's kiyum as the carriers of Or Hashem in this world. And we need to be fueling that. This is what we're told. We have no guarantees that May Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael will always be fine, never anything to worry about. We're told that our standing in Eretz Yisrael is going to reflect our mutualistic estate. And this is something that's mutual on us. It's mutual on us to fuel their efforts. And this is something that we're hearing from many of the soldiers who are consciously expressing this, and want to hear about chizukim that we're doing, fueling the effort, fighting the actual battle, and thus enabling them to go and carry the material side of it, and to actually carry the nitzachon of our efforts. What we find in the Gemara Bifrat as a zchus beis milchama is the karach of Torah and the karach of Achdus. So adding these to the two points that we mentioned earlier as the most basic bullet points in terms of responding to an Eis Tzara, which is Tfilah and Tshuva, as the Rambam talks about. And what's Bifrat emphasized, based on Chama by Chazal, is the Karach HaTorah, how David HaMelech, it's Ani Yisrael Sharenu, or Avdeni B'Sharai from Yishalayim, as the soldiers would express, we know that our Hatzlacha and battle is going to be fueled by those who are in Yishalayim, fueling it with their Karach HaTorah. So right, we come back to the Loisa say of complacence and the sense of Achrayas. And the other point that is emphasized is the Karach of Achdus. It says that even in the Dorah Shal Achav, Shal Yavid Zara, by the Yodim and Oitzkin, because of the Achdus that was showed in him. Therefore, in these times also, as we're davening, the tefillahs that we're paying, the Yishuv B'Seisa earlier, the same Yishuv B'Seisa earlier with the thought of saying it on behalf of God's Klal Yisrael. The Yishuv B'Seisa earlier, Klal Yisrael is sitting into an iron dome. What's that iron dome? Seisa earlier, it's Hashem hovering over us with his wings. To be living that, feeling that, that's what actually creates those levels of Hashem. The more conscious we are of it. B'Tzeil Shakai Yisrael, Oy Ma'ala Hashem Ma'asi. We declare Hashem as our Machzeh. Say this, thinking of the soldiers, thinking of the people closer to the borders, the people further from the borders, all of us who are in this Machzeh. And thinking and saying, on behalf of all of them, I'm saying Machzeh, I'm using the Lashon Yachid. But as me speaking on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, I declare Hashem as my Machzeh. to be operating with this constant awareness, and to be realizing that all this is coming together, all this is coming together to create an Achdus and Kol Yisrael that is elevating all of us as Yechidim and as a cloud to that place where Hashem is guiding us. To the place where Hashem is guiding us. I'm going to tie this up with a story that appears a number of places. Michtav Melio, a blessing brings out. We dive in to see this all culminate. We dive in to continue to we dive in to see Hashem's direct involvement in leading this toward Am Yisrael Chai on the basis of Or Hashem. But leading it toward, to see it culminate with the full glory of Malchusa Yisbach Olamei. And to just tie up what we're discussing with it, is a very fundamental yisoy that Avdessler says. Avdessler brings out this yisoy from a number of different angles. He says how we wait to see the glory, we wait to see it Hashem emerge as Hashem Echad, the Yakiru. Everybody will recognize it. But he says that this is actually a process that begins in the minds of another Jew and another Jew and another Jew. The more we move into a world of Hashem, the more we see that reality, the more we ourselves are living in that reality, in a world of Enoi Novada, in a world of sensing how the cause and effect is our luchniyistic efforts, which Hashem is trying to spur us onto, which is then going to gain us, earn us that much more of his direct involvement, of his hashgacha. The more we live in that world, like we said before, comfortably moving ourselves into a world of Enoch Nevada, comfortably moving ourselves into a world that we don't control, but that he controls, that he runs, where he reigns supreme, and being able to comfortably let go of everything else and live in that world. So we're living in a world where there already is that Gilu. That's how Avdessler explains the Gemara that says that the Satan is frightened of the Tkiya Shefa. He's frightened of the Tkiya Shefa. He says, Mashiach is coming. Avdessler asks, not everybody asks. But we all have experience with the Satan. He's a lot smarter than that. And he says, no, it's because he's so smart. When he sees a Yid, when he sees a Yid at the moment of Tkiya Shefa moving into that reality of a world of Hashem Melech, he says, ooh, I'm being crowded out of Olam Hazeh. It's actually happening. It's the stages toward Gilui Malchuso, because there's another Jew who's in that world already. He's in a world of Gilui Malchuso. We can take these prompts from Hashem. Hashem is moving us toward this. Corona has been moving us toward this. The current events are elevating us toward this. Each move into that world, to be setting the stage for Gilui Malchuso, by each of us moving into that world of Gilui Malchuso, of living in a world where in my own personal world, Lord Hashem is Nigla. He reigns supreme. He's running it all. There's no other Kaychus involved. And he is moving me where he wants to move me. And then Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see this all culminate with Chaste Hashem Adoyim, Gilui Malchuso Aleinu, in Heil Yomeinu.